Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year A, the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. Yet more illumination and a couple apparent reruns for the season after Epiphany. As Isaiah 9 rears its head again, Paul starts the work of gluing the Corinthians back together, and Jesus begins his ministry again by calling his first disciples again, but this time in Matthew. Have we done this before? Join us and find out.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year A, third week of Ordinary Time, is Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 4. Seems like we just must have done this at Christmas or Advent just a few weeks ago, but here it is again.
Yes, but it stops before it talks about a child being born to us.
It does, yes. So it's 1 through 4 rather than 1 through 7. So it is talking about the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali and the way of the sea through the land of the Gentiles, the areas of the Gentiles. And the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, and so on and so on. And the people are rejoicing as at the harvest or as in dividing spoil, because the Lord has removed the yoke of their burden and the rod of their oppressor. The primary expressed intelligence is the one that we identify from week to week for each of the texts that seems to be the most native of the eight intelligences that appears in the text. And so if you have that intelligence, it's the one that just kind of pops out and is most obvious. So we try to identify what that is, and that gives us a way of thinking about the text then in other ways to bring out the other intelligences in ways so that they'll pop for everybody else. This one's really tough to figure out what it is because it seems to change with every verse. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with a combination of eye smart and body smart. And Molly says,
I'll figure it out by the time I get to the show notes.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tough one. So check out the show notes at morethanhearing.org to find out our reasoning behind our choices there.
And what I finally pick.
Whatever it may be. And you'll also be able to find all our worksheets for the different texts, and that will give you some insights that we won't be recording today, but we have come up with a variety of ideas. What we do want to talk about with you today, though, is that we have some eye smart illustration and special effect, body smart illustration and special effect, well, actually illustration and special effect for all of these, I guess. For eye smart, body smart, music smart, and self smart. There, that was easier.
Yeah, much.
So Molly, start us off, would you?
Okay, well, for eye smart, visual spatial smart, looking at the light and the dark that is in this particular passage. For an illustration, Ed McNulty, who is a colleague back in Miami Presbytery of Ohio, he writes it was a newsletter at one point in time, but now it's on the internet because, you know, progress, called Visual Parables, which we have a link to. He talked about a scene in the movie Amistad, where the light dawned on the prisoners. The sun broke through clouds, and it was sort of like, those dwelling in deep darkness, on them light has dawned. So if you are interested, go look for that and maybe use that as a special effect. For special effect that we suggest, go the simple route. Start the reading in darkness, and as the passage continues, bring the light up. Or invite your congregation to close their eyes and put their hands over them as the passage begins, and then slowly remove their hands and open their eyes. This kind of also has some connection with body smart.
For body smart, thinking about the bar and the yoke and all that in verse 4 again, we have an image for you, a link to an image of Assyrian captives. So that would have been from the period of the end of Israel, more than the end of Judah, where when Isaiah would have been writing, perhaps, but certainly would have informed his writing. But anyway, it's a picture of some Assyrian captives. It's in a stone carving, and it shows them tied together at the neck and in a chain, and just kind of gives a sense of that captivity. So have a look at that. And then also, for a special effect, you could demonstrate that kind of yoking by, if you have access to an actual ox yoke that would have been used for plowing, for example. Maybe you have a farmer who has one, or an antique collector who might have one. Bring that in and let folks see it and maybe feel the weight of it and get a sense of what that would be like to carry that. You could also have a rope with a series of loops in it, like the one that is depicted in that Assyrian captive's carving, and string that out and ask people to imagine being tied together. I think you probably don't want to actually put it over people's heads and around their necks, but that's up to you. You can make that decision. So just some ways of getting people to experience that sense of burden and oppression.
For Music Smart, there is an aria from Handel's Messiah, aria 11, for behold, people who have walked in darkness. It's a bass aria, and there is an article that I came across written by Andrew Davies called Oratorio as Exegesis, the Use of the Book of Isaiah in Handel's Messiah. It's really interesting. We have a link to that. Well, we have the title of the article. You can go find it and read it. It's really interesting. It talks about how the music itself sort of takes on the story of the people, and how the music, as it's composed and as it's arranged, has that sense of people being in dark and walking in dark, and then the light dawns, and it's pretty cool. As a special effect, play it. Just play it. Or if you have someone in your congregation who knows this, have that person sing it.
For self-smart, thinking about that sense of gloom and also about the bars and yokes again, the text promises that there's no gloom for those who walk in Christ's light or in God's light. So help your people think about that movement in their own lives from darkness into light and from being captive to being free. And let them ponder the question. For self-smart, again, we often just pose questions for people to reflect on. So you might ask them, what are the bars on your shoulders? Or what oppressor's rod is on your back? And how does the Lord want to free you from that? Or how has the Lord freed you from that? And who might share your affliction with whom you could share the hope of the freedom in the Lord? Then we also have a quote from Dennis Bratcher. It says, how should we live in such a world? Do we live under the control of the forces around us, complaining about how bad everything is and hoping against hope that it may get better someday? Or do we live in the light of God's revelation of himself in the world and trust that he will work his purposes in history, even when we have no idea what those purposes might be or how he will work? Do we succumb to the despair of the circumstances in which we find ourselves? Or do we live as if the God we read about and talk about and sing about is really God? Do we cower in the darkness, only dreaming of a better future? Or do we live as if the light of that future is as much a reality as the darkness around us? Well, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let's go on.
Let's go on.
The epistle lesson for year A, Ordinary 3, is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. This is Paul continuing on to his reason for writing the Corinthians. He is appealing to them to be in agreement and have no divisions, be united in the same mind and have the same purpose, because he's heard that there's been some division among them and that people are all kind of claiming a particular party or a particular allegiance to different people in Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Christ. And so he's writing them saying, don't do that. He said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So we have some ideas of how to get into this passage. The primary expressed intelligence is the one that we think really pops. So I think it is math smart here, and David thinks it is.
And David thinks it's people smart.
Okay, so we'll let you know why we think that at the show notes at www.morethanhearing.org. So go over there and take a look, and you can also take a look at the worksheet. We have some other things that we found, but we are not including them in the recording of this podcast, so you can go see what we did there. So we have a special effect for eye, an illustration for nature, illustration special effect for math, illustration special effect for people, and David's going to get us started off.
Okay, we're going to do eye and nature together. Molly and I were working on these and independently basically came up with the same idea, but we put it in different places. So they kind of go together here. And the idea is that what Paul is looking for in the Corinthians is something that is clear and pure, and that the relationships that they have will be tight and clean and good, and not all these divisions and cracks and whatnot all. So both of us thought of inspecting a diamond, and Molly put it under iSmart. And so investigating what Paul writes about God's action in Christ here, about righting the wrongs and that are brought about by sin and so forth, is like holding the diamond up to the light. So get yourself a diamond. I'm sure they're just lying around everywhere. And
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe some toy diamond, you know, a large...
A big doorknob like a Laura Petrie.
Yeah.
Rob, this is the biggest diamond I've ever seen in my life. Where? Next to that doorknob?
Yeah, that or something that you've bedazzled or something like that. You know, something that people would be able to see. Anyway, and hold that up to the light. And then with the turn of the stone and the way the light reflects, you can see the brilliance, the color, the cut, the clarity all have something to do with that. And then if you want to get into the nature side of it, then you can also think about that. And we have a link to a site that gives you some ideas of how diamonds are rated. Mm-hmm. And based on the inclusions and flaws and things like that, mm-hmm. and where they come from. And so nature smart people will be interested in how do the crystals form and with the different minerals that get stuck in the middle of them.
Right.
And so
iSmart will just go, ooh, shiny.
Ooh, yeah. So there you go. Using the diamond and inspecting its flaws for what Paul is doing to the Corinthian church.
In MathSmart, we're looking at this idea of people being divided, and there's kind of this sense that the Corinthians were steeped in a sort of binary culture. There are two sides to everything. One was negative, one was positive. And so Paul is trying to get them to look at the positive aspect of what they might see as something that's negative, the cross. it's kind of an idea that's developed a lot more in later chapters of Corinthians. It's just first introduced here. The message of the cross is foolishness to those perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So maybe, in thinking about it in terms of math smart, perhaps in the act of redemption, God takes the absolute value of things so that what was negative becomes positive, and what was positive is also positive. So if you remember studying about absolute values in math class, here's some math. We have a formula presented in the special effects part of this. We have a link to how you can graph that formula too. But it was one of those things where I think that was probably the first time when you're studying math where kind of the big picture possibilities of mathematics come through, and it's no longer 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, and kind of this blah 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 rote thing. It's sort of like, wow,
you could do different things with this.
Yeah, it's like big picture and ooh and. I don't think I'm ready for this. but anyway, also for an illustration, Paul Fittis, who was writing at, Charles Cusar, who writes Paul and the Death of Jesus, is quoting a man named Paul Fittis. By choosing to reveal himself fully in a crucified man, God contradicts all notions of what it means to be divine. By becoming weak and a prey to death, God makes foolish the wisdom of this world, which understands power to be the ability to inflict suffering, or at least to escape from it. So there's some really interesting quotes we have there. We also have a couple of quotes from a woman named Alexandra Brown talking about this passage, too. That's also on the worksheet, so you can go take a look at that.
For people smart, looking at verse 11 that says, it's been reported to me that there are quarrels among you. Think about those quarrels. And we're doing this as people smart because people are the ones who are quarreling. But if there were an art smart, it would go in with that too, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. But quarrels are...
Might fit an eye.
Yeah. Or body or all sorts of places. Anyway... We're putting it in people smart. So quarrels in the church are like air bubbles in pottery before it's fired. And once the temperature goes up in the kiln, then the air bubble expands and it can blow a hole in the side of the piece.
And you blow up the piece.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't want that. And so as a potter, you have to work the clay to get all the air bubbles out of it before you start forming your pieces. And so in the church, we are also supposed to work to get those quarrels out before they blow up in somebody's face. So that would be the illustration. And just pushing that into the special effect, get some potter's clay and knead it while you are talking about this illustration. And then encourage people to work out their quarrels with the love of the Lord. Let's go on. The gospel lesson for year A, Ordinary 3, is Matthew 4, verses 12 through 23. This is Matthew's telling of the call of the first disciples, with some other bits thrown in around it. It starts off that Jesus had heard that John had been arrested, and so he went from his home in Nazareth to Galilee, and so fulfilled the writings of the prophet, which we have already read this week in chapter 9 of Isaiah, that the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the road by the sea, would see a great light. And so Jesus picks up John's ministry of proclamation and says, repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, sees a couple of brothers, and invites them to go fishing for people. And they do that. They join him immediately. And so he walks down the beach a little further and comes across a couple other brothers and says, hey, why don't you come too? So they do. And off he goes through all of Galilee to proclaim the good news. So lots of stuff going on there. It sounds like a little bit of a rerun from last week in the gospel where John tells us about the call of the first disciples, which is an entirely different story.
Completely different.
So not quite a rerun, maybe a
reinterpretation.
A different interpretation, indeed. The primary expressed intelligence here, I think, is people smart. Molly's saying.
I think it's eye smart, but I could be convinced to go other ways. I think I'll stick with eye smart.
Intriguing.
We'll find out when you read the show notes.
We'll hash it out in the show notes. So have a look there, morethanhearing.org, to see why we chose those. We have just a couple things for you here, though. We have body smart illustration, a nature smart illustration, and people smart illustration. So Molly's going to start us off.
Well, the body smart illustration comes out of that very last verse, verse 23, where Jesus goes throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news, and curing every disease and sickness among the people. David had highlighted that as being a body smart sort of thing because of, obviously, the connection to the body with the illnesses and the sickness. But it just kind of sat there and wasn't really doing much of anything until I went to workingpreacher.org. Which is another lectionary website, which is really good. And I read the commentary by Warren Carter for this particular passage. And he talked about the sickness and the illness that came about. Well, he said, essentially, why was there so much disease in the New Testament at this time? Why were people sick? Why did Jesus have to do so much healing? And that the sickness came about because of poverty, and the poverty came about because of empire. Also, that particular part of Israel was, it kind of got missed with economic development, and so it was sort of a hardscrabble kind of place anyway. And so people would have to work really hard in order to be able to have a living. And if they didn't have a very good living, they didn't have a very good diet, poor nutrition, which could lead to blindness, muscle weakness, etc., lack of immunity. So there would be diseases of the body, diarrhea, cholera, things like that. These kind of diseases were death-bringing in a world that required physical labor for survival. So if you weren't strong enough to work, you didn't eat. If you didn't eat, you got sick. It just kind of became a vicious cycle. And so Jesus coming about are healing acts that repair imperial damage and enact God's life-giving empire in restoring people's lives, as Carter says at Working Preacher, which I thought was awesome. So that's an illustration that you could use for body smart, is that Jesus healed people of
institutional illness as well as physical illness. Wow.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you jumping in there.
That's why I'm here.
Good for you. High five.
Air five.
Okay, that's all I have.
Oh, okay. For nature smart. For nature smart, starting off with a quote from Peter Bynum from Between the Text and Sermon, he says, of the people of that region, the inhabitants of Capernaum were humble laborers who eked out a living either by farming nearby fields and vineyards or by fishing on the lake, which we kind of knew. But anyway, for nature smart, I've been there, actually, to Capernaum, and so I had a longing to have a look at it, and I pulled up Google Earth and went strolling around the village and walking down the beach, and I thought, well, I'm not the only one who can do that. You can do that, too. So I would encourage you to have a go at that. Go over to Google Earth and have a look around Capernaum if you've never been. And it's kind of squashed graphics, and it's not quite realistic, but it gives you a sense of the land there and the hills that surround the Sea of Galilee. And,
oh, it's pretty.
It is. It's a beautiful place. And so I'd encourage you to have a look at that and maybe even project that in your service while you're talking about it so people have a sense of what it actually looks like. So,
or if you've been there.
If you've been there, use your own pictures.
Yeah.
So it's also connected with iSmart that way. Mm-hmm.
And then finally, people, the word, it, this kind of involves just a wee smidgen of word smart, because the word for, the Greek word for they left their nets can also be translated as send away or divorce. So in a way, these fishermen, they divorced their livelihood to follow Jesus. Again, Peter Bynum says, in the Greek, the best translation for Jesus' call to the fishermen is, come on! It's not a command, but it's an invitation. So Jesus is luring these men. He's literally fishing for them.
Aha.
Aha. And so he encourages them to come and follow him. And something about that invitation, something about that lure was so compelling that they divorced themselves from their current life, their current lifestyle, and followed after Jesus, completely turning around, turning away from what they had been doing. So there's an illustration for you about this particular story, using people smart, about the relationships. Something about Jesus' promise of relationship was so beautiful, so compelling, that they were willing to walk away from what they knew. And what is it about that call to us? Have we have gotten a call from Jesus that is that compelling, that compels us to divorce our lives? A special effect you might want to do, ask this question. Have your congregation break into small groups and ask and discuss this. So the four fishermen divorced their nets and followed Jesus. We don't usually speak of this call or of this leave-taking in terms of breaking a relationship. So how does using this word divorce affect your understanding of their decision and of their call? Kind of gives it an urgency that's missing ordinarily.
Intensity.
Yeah. They really made a decision, a life-changing decision.
Pastoral.
I see. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing. Send us a tweet at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea that you liked even better than ours, let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text, so you can see some of our ideas that don't make it into the podcast. Those also might be helpful or give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes. Or you can point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store, too. You can subscribe there directly, and you can support the show by writing a review, which will help others find us more easily. And of course, you can always share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.